I stay, but for some minutes, sometimes I have to go there, and because I'm with my daughter, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm in Arles right now. I was kind of dreaming that I would do the talk in the house, in the new house, in the new Zendo, and things are not quite ready again. I arrived last week, and Delphine and I were thinking of we were planning to actually sleep there, but we arrived there and it was just not ready at all. So it was a little bit of a disappointment. And so we cleaned and we cleaned, and then we left. We left after 2 days because there was nothing else we could do. And then we came back this morning. So it's the project is still still happening, but it takes takes a long time. It's a work of patience. And now it's probably now that it seems that it's going to be another month, so it keeps being postponed. But it's yeah, it's such an interesting process of patience. And really, reality is unfolding in so many so many unexpected ways. I think I'm still under the I'm still processing what has happened during the last retreat with Debbie. So Debbie and I were just the two of us. And again, that was very unexpected. And it was really just really, really interesting. Really, mind-blowing in a way. A mind-blowing experience. And just like prior to that, it was really just like the hesitation that didn't last very long, but the hesitation whether or not I should do it because only two people registered and one had to cancel. And I was and it really kind of brought me back to whether or not I was discouraged or whether or not it was very depressing to have so few people registering. And I was later on I talked about it with Roshi, and she also shared at some point how discouraging she felt at times when there were a few people or where her other Dharma brothers and we're giving Dukkha and she wasn't, and like me, I think she had like a moment of where things flipped, things fl switched in her mind, and it, just like realizing that these are the ingredients at hands and it's perfect the way it is. And we're not doing it for the numbers, and we're not doing it for. I think one of the, and I was about to say we're not doing it for the other people, for the other people that are present. And yet, I was, I think one of the things that I felt a little bit unhappy about, or kind of there was a little bit of friction in me, is that I keep emphasizing and I keep putting so much, so much emphasis, so much value on the Sangha. And when no one shows up, or very few people show up, it's like, where's the Sangha? Or what is it that I'm not bringing, so that it's not, it's very hard not to start to question myself about what is it that I bring, or what is it that I'm not bringing, so that it's that's the result of these conditions. And so just before that, I was talking to with another teacher from our lineage, and he said, "Oh yeah, hearing you seem a little bit, discouraged. So I really encourage you to look at your discouragement." And I really kind of, I think I honestly looked at it, and I didn't see any discouragement. I was extremely grateful that Debbie showed up. I was really grateful that we just had that experience, the two of us. It was like a really just like a hermitage retreat, just almost by ourselves. And then last week, Roshi talked about something, and that really. So I've been staying with that image for the past week, actually, and that image kept being enriched. And the image that I shared last week is that she was talking, I don't remember exactly even what she was talking about, but it's like really this tight rope walker. Now I know the word, tight rope walker, someone who walks. I see Anna is, someone who walks on a rope, yeah, someone who just walks on a rope, and he needs to keep the balance, and if we don't keep the balance, we fall. So that's really like a very powerful image that came to me, and that I've been working, I've been staying with that image, that we are really walking through life, and it's as if my impression was, the image that I get is like, it's as if there are always possible traps, possible imbalances that m would make us fall. Falling in that particular case, for example, either falling into discouragement, or falling into like an ego trip. Or falling into I'm everything, or falling into I'm nothing, falling on one side, keeping quiet and not expressing your thoughts and your mind, your opinions, or just thinking that your opinion is all that matters. It's like all kinds of situations like this. And then for some reason, it felt, that image also felt very useful, but at the same time, it feels a little bit like it's one or the next, or it's like two extremes. But suddenly it feels to me that it's also, it has to do with the image that I've been carrying over the past couple of days, is really this image of dancing. It's like we're dancing with the conditions. We are receiving situations And with our practice, with everything that we've learned, with all the things that we've experienced, with our experience of letting go, with our intentions of doing good, in relying on the precepts, in trying to cultivate all the various qualities, how do we respond to every single situation? It's like, and there is never like a one single possible, one single answer at all times, but it's always changing, and it's always we have to play with all that. Play with all these ingredients. Play with all these conditions. During the retreat, Debbie and I were exchanging about this image that I love so much, that I find so useful in the in this particular in a sutra, where the qualities that we are developing, that we're trying to cultivate, are represented, the image that is given as like eggs, and the chicken covers. The eggs and switch from time to time the eggs around, so that the heat is, how can I say, is all the eggs receive the same amount of heat. So we need to shift things around all the time. So again, this like this idea also of the various situations that we're in, and we are really trying to respond with all these various qualities that we are trying to cultivate at once, but also sometimes we need to insist more on one quality than in another when we feel there's a lack. So here it's a good example of that. I arrive in a place and a little bit unhappy with what we found, which is not really what was told we would be witnessing. We needed to speak up, and at the same time, acknowledge that it takes longer than what was planned, and we need to let go of that. And we were a little bit angry at the beginning, and then we we had to let go a little bit of that, not to cling to our disappointment and to our frustration. It was also very quite exciting, actually, and quite gratifying also to start cleaning, in a way, it was a nice way to get hold of the house, of the space, start cleaning. Yeah, so whether it's the retreat, or what's coming up, it's always such a plunge. And this is also what was very quite amazing with this particular retreat, is that we had to reinvent, in a way, the way we were doing things, because it was just the two of us. So we couldn't really operate on the basis of a regular retreat in terms of positions, in terms of eating, preparing food, and all that. And bringing that freshness, bringing that really beginner's mind. To what we're doing. And it can be, I guess it can be a trap. It's like we're going to a retreat and we know how that works. We know how it works. But sometimes forgetting that it's always new and it's always a discovery and we never know what we're going to find within ourselves and how things will operate. And sometimes by changing the conditions, we're discovering new things. One of the things we did was to start the day by sitting facing the wall. And I was very much also inspired by the workshop I did with on the five Buddha families, where we had to the exercises were very much about seeing, putting. Amy talks about that, putting glasses, colored glasses, and how that color impacts the way we feel, the way we see things. And how I really wanted to go back to the experience of facing the wall and see how that particular position, the way face a particular wall is actually changing the experience. And it does. I mean, it did to me, at least. It does change the experience. Yeah, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for the all the various occasions and opportunities that remind me how things are unexpected and I can really learn from that. I can really It really teaches us how to dance with life, with what happens. We have the choice to cling, to be disappointed, to be angry, to stick with that. Or we have the possibility to look at it and transform it and dance with it. And yeah, I have a different type of experience. Again, remembering the four vows is a wonderful way to root our actions in to ground our intentions, to ground our actions in our intentions. These deep intentions to do good, to look at things the way they are, to do it for the sake of others, to serve. The more we let go, it feels the richer it becomes. The more we let go, the more we're able to see the ingredients that are in front of us and appreciate what is given. And trust. I keep thinking that if, I mean, my project in Al, our project in Al with Delphine took so long, but I keep thinking it was a blessing that it actually took so long. Also, because I wasn't ready. Have I had the place just like 2 months after my transmission, when we just after we visited the place, I wasn't ready. I wasn't, things hadn't matured enough. So it actually, it was, yeah, things had to settle. And yeah, it was good. And I have no idea. I have no idea what's going to happen. And if I'm too hung up on how things should unfold, I'm going to get into trouble. So it always feels like a new dawn, a new adventure at every moment. And I know that's really part of, that's the heart of the practice. Not getting stuck anywhere. One of my favorite koan is dwelling in nowhere, raise the mind. Dwelling in nowhere. I love that. You know, dwelling in nowhere. Not being stuck anywhere. And it's so easy to get stuck. Whether it's, you know, to get stuck on a particular emotion, to get stuck on a particular opinion, and then become stubborn and just banging our head on the wall. And I feel so much gratitude for this practice that leads us to that place of a knowing, of appreciative joy, of this place where we're trying not to cling too much. We make a little bit of space within us, so things flow slightly more, with more ease. Yeah, that's maybe that's all for now.
Thank you, Joa. Hello. As you were speaking, I was thinking some, not thinking, some things come to my mind, and then after a minute or two, you said was very interesting, like dwelling in nowhere and the opportunity that that retreat that both of you had. To acknowledge and remember that things are always unexpected. We just don't behave like that most of the time. So it was here this when you said about the dancing. It resonates with me that, and with my Dharma name, the true man or true person of no rank, it's this thing of being available in each moment. So, thank you, because what you've talked about, it's really what now in my these days, sometimes I'm the most important thing. It's not more important than the rest. It's more important than because it's the thing now to not get caught in not attached to and be able to just be in the situation and dance as you said or the non-separation between or non-dwelling dwelling in nowhere or the non-separation between or the intermingle of in personal and the personal and all of that, actualizing here and now. Very beautiful. Thank you.
Paradoxically, it's funny. Paradoxically, I find I feel that it's such a relief in a way that we're not reach, I mean, we're not reaching anything.
Yeah.
Don't know, there's something like that. It's like a I'm so, yeah. I'm still digging and deepening and just like it never ends, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Find it really wonderful.
Yeah, it's a kind of joy when it is, of course, to not arriving and whatever, just yeah, actually to
Hello.
Anna.
It's nice to be here with you three. What you said, it also resonates on me in a way that has to do with my new life. I have a new life. My new life is Leaving Lisbon behind, the living in 70 kilometers from Lisbon on my own. It's not easy, no, because I was born in Lisbon, and I like Lisbon, but it looks like it's not possible to live and find a place in Lisbon for a normal person like me. So it's very expensive, very expensive. So I live. And most of the things you said about your experience about the retreat, about going to Arles and nothing was ready. I'm feeling all that. I'm getting, I try to get used and to be happy here. Though there are things that upset me, like n noisy neighbors and dogs that bark 1 hour, no stop, at any hour of the day or night. I don't know they bark why they bark like that. But though I miss my family and friends and cinema and art and galleries and all that that I love, I'm here. And there is not much of that. But slowly I'm discovering another way of living my day by day. It's not always very pleasant, but I'm also discovering a lot of situations. There is nothing to do with your project in Arles, but for some reason I felt that what you said, it can be good for me to hear that, and remember that. So,
How do
thank
you
you.
how do you think you're in that particular situation that you're in, that your practice helps you? How would you describe that?
Very much. It helps me very much because there are so many things to solve. Is that the word? So many things to solve. If I get mad, all about everything that I have to do, I will get very mad. But I'm not getting mad. And it's very interesting that I'm meeting people to make things in the house that are very nice. And they are really nice. They are honest. And they are nice. So, little by little, things are solving, except the noise that it disturbs me a lot. Night, day, late in the day, it disturbs me. But there is it's true that there are days that it sounds that nobody's there, and it's very silent, so I take profit of that moment.
But so the when you see that the your practice helps you is in the way you deal with your own reactions. Yeah, that's what you would say.
Yes, and I also in the way I'm attentive to what's coming, which is, it's good. It's okay. And I'm attentive to that. And also moving around, you know, like I'm very near the sea, moving around and be there sometime quietly and then come back.
So your biggest koan right now is how do you stop the sound of a distant ringing bell?
Kind of, yes.
The noisy barking dog.
Yes, they are four in the house and they are very big. Yes.
In the house where you live, yeah, your
No.
actual house underneath. Right.
And the man is alcoholic, is also noisy. I just run away from him. I don't want to get close. But I'm discovering. Did you knew since I that I had moved from
No,
Lisbon?
I didn't. No, I didn't
No.
know. No, I didn't
Did
know.
you knew Debbie? No. So I'm near Ribamar.
Okay, yeah.
You said you might have to a year ago.
Yes. Yes, the houses are incredibly expensive in Lisbon,
Right.
and it's incredible. It's just for tourists or very rich people. And I was renting the house that you have been in, and the house was falling apart, you know, and the rent was going up. So it does. You wanted me to go away, so I went away.
Right.
I also I'm a bit. I feel some anger about the need just to leave my town where I was born. It wasn't. It is not passive, but pacific. It is not just well. Sometimes I said, ah. Sometimes I came to that situation because it's not fair. But it is like that. So here I am in Ribamar. Not in Ribamar, it's very near Lourinhã, which is the next ne the villa closer to Ribamar. I'm not coming to the retreat this summer. Are you coming?
No, I'm leading one retreat by in with Juan Rodriguez from Dana. We're doing a week-long retreat in the Morvan, not far from where the transmission took place, but a different place, but in that area.
Your transmission.
Yeah, at my transmission. So it's a different it's owned by the man who owns the other castle where the transmission took place, and this is where a castle that a property a family property that is in his family, and so Dana has been using this place since last year, so we're going back there, and Gena Roshi is doing 2 weeks after we doing 1 week, so we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be the first time I'm going to do week-long retreat, and it's going to be the first time that I'm actually really co-leading a retreat with someone, and And he's in the same situation as me. He has no idea whether people will come or not, and I have no idea also. But that's the plan, and we'll do it. We'll do it even if we have one person. At least I know that Delphine is coming with me, so we'll be three at least for the
When it
moment.
is?
That's July 18th until the 18th. 11 until the 18th. And then so the great thing is that people can do 2 weeks or 3 weeks if they want to, because Dana is using the place for 2 weeks. So anyone who would like to come and do a 3 week long retreat, they can.
3 weeks, great. Yeah.
It's a great place. I really, really liked it. It's last year. It's really, really peaceful. No dogs barking anywhere.
Where it is in France?
It's close to where the transmission took place. It's in the Morvan. It's near Château Chinon. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Very quiet. Not as luxurious as the other castle. More kind of run down. But it's in a way. I find it more even more charming. So it's really nice.
Anna, does this mean you are close to where we were in retreat last year, last summer?
What is that? What?
Well, because you mentioned the name of the other place. Are you close to where we were in retreat last summer? Yes, I can't hear you, Anna.
Where were you last summer?
Ribemont, or is that where it was?
Yeah, it's very close, yeah.
Oh, you're talking to Anna. Oh, okay,
Yeah,
sorry.
no, it's so beautiful down there. I mean, it's
Yeah.
very rural, but it's very beautiful. No?
Yeah. I must prepare for the cold. It's very cold.
Ooh. Well, you're very brave because it's funny, it's been in my mind recently. My neighbors are doing construction work upstairs. This building is going to fall down one of these days, one of these construction days. And I've been here for over 30 years. It has not much going, this town, nothing happens here. But this apartment is the quietest place in the world. 10, 12 hours a day, more than that. There's a moment about 8:30, somebody beeps, and then everybody rushes to the window. And the same thing happens about 5:15. And the rest of the day, you can hear flies farting, really. And when I first got here, I was working with 600 teenagers every day. And I'd get here and it was like, as a matter of fact, when we moved here, we slept better than I had ever slept in my whole life. It's a dream to not have any noise in the Paris area. And I was thinking recently, what if you had to leave here? Because all of my youth, I changed continents every 3 years, just about. I was in the Middle East, then I was in America, then I was in Turkey, So this is my first experience of being settled. And also I worked with an association that helped older people take care of their life, and that was one of the pieces of advice: don't move after 60, 65. Stay where you are because it's a big, it's traumatic. All of the places where you've been, and especially if you were born there. Yeah, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal. All of your point de repère, everything that you know where it is, well, it's not there anymore. I don't need to tell you. Yeah, no, that's, congratulations, you're doing very well, I think. I may have to join you at some point if my building falls down, but I wanted to come back to this experience, retreat, because a whole bunch of things. But one, I gotta, you all know Christine. The German Christine. I got a message from her in the week saying, I hope you had a nice retreat. And I told her, I said, well, it was me and Joe in the country. And she wrote back and said, do you realize how unique that experience is? There are very few people in the world that have ever been on a retreat alone with their teacher. And I thought, yeah, no. But it wasn't extraordinary at all. That was what was so strange. Everything's strange if you go that way. But what was so, for me in any case, after the first 10 minutes, it was just like regular in a way. And I told you, there are very few people, I can count them on 3 fingers, that I would be locked in the country alone with. But I mean, very, even women. You know, people, it's not just a man-woman thing. People can be strange after the first couple of days' silence. So I was completely relaxed. I mean, there was no trust issue that he was going to leave me there or anything, or that there was any danger coming from the outside or anything. So that was a big deal. And then just the rest of the time, quite frankly, maybe I shouldn't admit this, but when I wasn't cutting up vegetables or sitting, I kept going to sleep. Probably I haven't been that relaxed, maybe, well, for years. But like at 10:30 in the morning, well, does that correspond? Yeah, we cut up things. At 11 o'clock, we were all done with all the work at 11:15. And I'd go in the bedroom, sit down, and I'd knock out, you know, I'd fall deep asleep until it was time to sit. But all day, every day, it was a very odd experience. I don't generally fall asleep and then at 10:30 in the morning. So I must have been extremely relaxed. And the feeling that nothing exceptional was happening at the same time, well, I'm not, you know, it's hard, boys. We all know it's rather hard to talk about this. But this business about, I noticed it last week when Amy was talking about it too. This, it seems to me, recently, was that the reason that. That I can see myself catching on to a negative emotion, and I've got, as you know, lots of them, especially at the train station. I can see myself getting, I was annoyed on the train. I was standing up, there are all these young men sitting. I wasn't tired, but, and I kept thinking, but you're not tired, Debbie. That's okay. They should get up and offer me a seat. And it went on for about 5 minutes. I thought, you know, you're ruining your trip. You could stop now if you want to. And I did, and then it felt like I was like 18 years old or something. And it was, oh, I wonder if it's gonna happen. Nothing happened, but I wonder if it's gonna happen on this trip, because I wasn't in my usual mode of, that young man should stand up for me. I do. I go through a lot of that. I want to control the crowd. I'm a crowd controller. You should stand over here. Really, if they let me do the Gare du Nord, there wouldn't be any problem. You stand over here, you sit down, you stand up. I've got this whole thing quartered, but of course nobody listens to me. And the other thing that came up that you were saying, Joa, this dancing image, originally, before you pointed out to me that I might learn something at the Gare du Nord, that was the way I was getting through, because it really is quite confusing. I keep thinking, who engineered this? These guys coming out while these guys are going in. Isn't there a better way to do this? But at some point, we're all going to cross over. And I used to, and I danced a lot. I used to think, just pretend like you're on stage and it's a ballet. Whoops, go over here. Whoops, go over here. And it took some of the sting of, because people do run into me a lot, and I'm small, so bam, or a bag or something. And my good humor sort of goes out the door, but it is easier, even on this walking down the sidewalk, to sort of see it not as, because I can see it as a challenge to fight, and then I'm back in my you better stand over here, watch me, I'm gonna run into you sort of thing, which is stupid because I'm smaller than most of the guys out there, so it. The image of this is we're performing, and there are parts of the Gare du Nord where you can really get that feeling, and there's a big space, and everybody's kind of, most of the time everybody's, we're, it's coming out all right. Yeah, I like that imagery a lot. I was wondering, Anna, did you get this tight rope, tight rope walking? Because I'll bet you it's the same thing in Portuguese, no? Funambu, you got it. Okay. That's good.
Actually, what Debbie, what you're saying just makes me add another ingredient in this dancing thing, which makes the whole difference between the tightrope walker, is that when we're dancing, you're mentioning Gare du Nord, it's like suddenly it's not me against the world, it's me with the world and me making space for the other and integrating it so that I'm not opposing. And it's exactly that. And suddenly the world becomes so much wider and so much more spacious because there is this ingredient of I'm seeing the other, the others and the other. And I'm really seeing it, it's not just me against them, it's like me with them. And how do we,
Make this come out right.
so that's really the difference, which is not something that you have in the tightrope walker, because it's like it's just me with the possibility of falling on one side or the next, whereas it's like it's in a way it's like the dancing thing is brings the sangha element in there,
It's a
into play.
choreography.
Yeah, a choreography, exactly.
And most people, well, no, that's not true anymore because it's a stupid telephone thing, actually. It makes it harder because people are glued to their phone in a group meeting up of lots of different directions and stuff. It makes it harder. But quite frankly, at the Gare du Nord in particular, more so than in the metro in Paris, where people really don't care. A lot of people do kind of care, and they're not on their phones. And there can be very nice, just quick eye contact. Are you going to go over there? So how about if I go over here, sort of thing, where you feel like, we're not friends, but we are cooperating on this. Yeah, no, it's nice. Voila, I don't think I have any other great moments of wisdom.
All right.
Yeah, we're almost in
Yeah.
time.
All right, let's stop here. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you.